on silent, go ahead and do that as well. Grab your Bibles. Most of this series, we have been looking in Genesis. This morning, we're going to go all the way over, and we're going to go to the book of Revelation. I told you we were going to come back to this, Lost and Found, and this morning, we're going to talk about Forever Found. This is the sort of the wrap-up, the follow-up to everything we've been looking at. If you haven't been joining us for the various studies that we've been doing, about five or six of them, I apologize in advance. We're not going to go over all the same verses we've gone before. We're going to kind of keep on moving, but we'll talk just a little bit about some of them, and then we'll keep going. So I wanted to come back to this while it was still fresh in our memories this morning. Forever Found, because the name of this series of entitled it Lost and Found. And we know what was lost in the beginning, and then what was found through Jesus. So we've talked about the three gardens, Eden, the wilderness, Gethsemane, where we had everything in Eden, where we lost everything in Eden, and where we regained through the wilderness and Gethsemane when Jesus went through those gardens for us. We talked about the three trees, the tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and then the tree of Calvary, which is the cross. We've talked about the two Adams. You and I are part of the first Adam. We were part of the first Adam, but now we are also part of the second Adam, because the second Adam was Jesus and what he did for us, who gave up everything. We lost everything. Jesus gave up everything that we might regain everything. And then our Easter message, we talked about the two trials, the trial on earth, the earthly trial with the Jews and then with Pilate, but what was really happening also in the heavens, in the heavenly trial, when sin had to be paid for, and Jesus said, I have paid for it. And a way had to be made back to God so there could be fellowship and life again. And Jesus said, I make a way with my body. And his body was torn and his body was broken, and the curtain to the temple was opened. And a way of life. And Jesus said, I give my life and I die that life might be ours. So this is what we've been looking at. And we now come this morning to this conclusion. As we turn to the word, if you need to move somewhere, Susan, if you want to move somewhere, you can move if you want to. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's okay. And we're just going to talk for just a little bit. Then we're going to look at some scriptures. But let me just talk for a little bit. And I want to remind you of this. What we see in Eden, what we see in Genesis, what we see in the beginning reminds us of God. And what it reminds us of is God's love for us. And you and I need to be reminded of that, because we live in a world that questions God's love, that questions God's care for us, that questions God's connection to our lives. We live in a world that says, how could a loving God do this? Yes, all of us have heard that question. How could a loving God allow this? How could a loving God allow that? We live in a world that says God is impersonal and far away. We live in a world that says God doesn't care about us. We make our own way. We determine our worth. We live in a world that says if we are productive, if we're rich, if we're good looking, if we're powerful, then we are worth something. We are high in society. And everything that we read in Genesis and everything that we look at tells us otherwise. It tells us God is a God of love for us. It tells us that God is a personal God. It tells us that we are worth and we are of value because we're made in the image of God. We read that when God made man, he put him in a garden that was completely prepared, that was completely, man and woman, they were completely provided for. And this tells us about God. This tells us about God. This reminds us. We sometimes look for special this or special that. It's all in God's word, and we see this is what God is like. We look at when God made man, and I know we've talked about these things before, but just by way of reminders, we think about this. So God took man, everything else he spoke into being, right? Everything in creation he spoke into being. this. And he looked at it and he said it was good. And then it says he fashioned. That has to do with hands, doesn't it? Now, did God use hands? Does God need hands to do his work? I don't think so. He's God. And then it says God breathed into man the breath of lives. Well, did God have to breathe something? Did he literally get close? I don't know. But what I do know is this. The language of the Bible is human language so that we can understand it. And we can see this picture of God that personally made man in his image. Therefore, we are of value and of worth. That personally breathed into man the breath of lives. And that is why every life is important, whether in the womb or whether in the last days of life. Every life is of value. Every life is important because it is a gift from God and it comes from God. And we see this from the very beginning as we read Genesis and as we look in the Garden of Eden. And then we talked about those trees that God put in the garden. And then man lost everything. And then God, because he's love and he never changes and he's a good God, is working to restore what was lost. And through Jesus, we have regained, through the last Adam. But I have a question for you this morning as we come to the conclusion of this. I have told you that in Jesus, all is found, right? The last Adam, we have regained. I have a question for you this morning. Have you regained everything? How's your body this morning? How's your heart this morning? How are your thoughts this morning? How are your finances this morning? How are your plans this morning? Is everything perfect? Not yet, is it? Not perfect yet. So let's talk about what we have and what we will yet have this morning. Because we live in a world that is not yet perfect. My heart is still burdened. I'm still expecting that there will be some typhoons May through November in the typhoon season. We've been told, in fact, there's already one right around the Philippines, right? That's going, and it's a super typhoon maybe, right? It's going along. I don't know how close it is right now or if it's already going by. Why are these things happening when Jesus has won for us what was lost? Why are these things happening when we know that Jesus has defeated the enemy? We're going to talk about that this morning. So we have yet ahead a promised restoration. We have part of it now, don't we? We have part of it now. So I asked in the first service, so if you were here in the first service, you listen, and we'll ask for everybody else, what are some of the names of the Holy Spirit? Think with me. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. What are some names or some descriptions of the Holy Spirit? What are some things that we say? He's the Comforter. I like that one a lot. What else? Counselor. The other word for that is advocate, a law term, right? A legal term. What are some other things? Our intercessor. And we read about that in Romans 8, that wonderful, we're going to maybe get to it sometime this year, that when we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit helps us pray. How many of you don't know how to pray sometimes? A lot of times I don't know how to pray. I just ask for the Holy Spirit's help. That's in Romans 8 when we don't know how to pray. But one of the things and one of the ways that the Holy Spirit is described is a down payment. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit is our down payment. So when I read that, what that tells me is I have part, but I don't have all. You have part, but you don't have all. Because God has a timing. We're still limited in our human bodies. So it is yet coming, but it is not yet. So let's, as we think about that, let's move forward and let's look forward this morning and trace what we read in Genesis, and we're going to see it in Revelation this morning. And let's first this morning, as we think about this down payment that we have, but that we will yet have fully. How many of you have ever done down payment? Have you done down payment before? I put a down payment on a rug one time, a long, long time ago. You may think a rug, it was when I was really poor. I couldn't afford to pay for it all at one time. And I got halfway through, and I thought, and I was paying on it. I was a down payment. I had to pay more. And I thought, I can't pay anymore. I was really poor and I was going to let it go. And my sister said, no, come on, you can do it. You can do it. And in the end, I did. Well, the Holy Spirit is not like that. In the Holy Spirit, we will receive it all. And you know what? He's the one that makes the payment. Jesus is the one that makes the payment for us. So let's move forward this morning as we look at it. And I want us first to talk about the tree of life, right? So the tree of life was in the Garden of Eden. We know that when man and woman, after they sinned, after they took from the other tree, that God blocked the way. And sometimes we think, well, why would God do that? Because God is a God of love, right? And God knew if they have now fallen, they are now broken, and if they eat from the tree of life, they will live forever, but they will live eternally condemned. Sometimes we judge God so harshly, and God is always working for our good and always working in love. So, question this morning, tree of life, what happened to it? Where is it? Is it still somewhere in the Middle East, around Babylon, somewhere around there? Do you think it might still be there? God planted it. It's a special tree. As I was doing some reading and preparing this week, one of the speculations is, no, it was destroyed in the flood. But that's just speculation. We don't know what happened to it, do we? We don't know exactly. But my question is, where is it now? Is it just gone? Revelation 2:7. Look with me. This is chapters 2 and chapter 3 of Revelation. These are the letters to the churches from God through the Spirit. And he's speaking to the churches. This is the letter to Ephesus. So since it's to the churches, is it to us this morning? Yes, it is. This is to you. So listen to what the Spirit says to you this morning. Are you ready? To everyone who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which grows in the paradise of God. What? Where's the tree of life now? In the paradise of God. You say, oh, Pastor Jennifer, really? I'm pretty sure. In the paradise of God. So as we look at this, what does this say to us this morning? And what does this do to us this morning? And how does it encourage us this morning? The way it encourages us this morning is this. God doesn't give up on things. God doesn't stop things. God still has a plan. God still has a blessing. God still has goodness for you. Therefore, it is worth it to you and to me to persevere. It's worth it to hold on. It's worth it to keep on going. To everyone who's victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life. What did man and woman lose in the Garden of Eden when they sinned and when they ate from the tree of knowledge? They lost the right, didn't they? They lost the right to eat from the tree of life. And God says, because of Jesus, through the ministry of Jesus, restored to us again is the right to eat from the tree of life. So it's worth it to hang on. It's worth it to hold on. But this is not the end picture, brothers and sisters. This is the beginning of Revelation. And the Spirit says, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life. Let's move to the end of Revelation. Okay? Look with me in Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was also gone. Stop right there just a minute, because we're still talking about the tree of life. So there's a first heaven, there's a first earth, and then there's a new heaven, and then there's a new earth. What was in the beginning? The first earth. Was it good? Yes, it was good. We read about it in Eden. We read about it in Genesis, didn't we? This perfect world, this creative world, this colorful world, this world with everything. Everything was perfect. Everything was good. There was nothing in it that was harmful for men and for women. It was wonderful. And there was a first heaven also. There was a first heaven. But now John is in heaven in the Spirit. And the Spirit shows him what will yet be. And it's important for us this morning because the Spirit wants us to see this as well. And John sees, and then he tells us, and he says, I saw a new heaven. I saw a new earth. for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, God never regresses. God never does second best. God always does better. And so God has something that is yet ahead that's better than what has been. How can it be better than Eden? Eden was perfect. It's better. It's better. But let's not stop there. Let's keep on going. Maybe we're going to come back. God has put in my heart to talk about heaven this year, so we're going to be coming back another time. But this morning, we're going to keep on moving. Look with me now at Revelation 22. This is the very last chapter of the Bible, okay? Revelation, last book in the Bible. Revelation 22, the very last chapter of the Bible. And then we read, then the angel, wouldn't you love to have an angel as a guide? I see tour guides in Hong Kong all the time, and especially across the border, and they always have a little yellow flag, right? And they're, well, not these days, pre-COVID, right? Pre-COVID, little yellow flag, and they're walking around, and all these people are, and they're pointing out this and that. Imagine having an angel guide in heaven. That's what John had. And we read here, then the angel showed me the river of living water, sparkling like crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. So we read this first. And as we look at this, so this is in the new heaven, right? Revelation 21, new heaven, new earth. Revelation 22, we are now in the new heaven. Okay? And what does John see? A river of living water, sparkling like crystal. What was Eden like? What was Eden like? Remember that? Eden, there was an abundance of water. Remember, there was an abundance of rivers. Remember that? There was this, the Tigris, the Euphrates, all of these. And remember that the name Eden, one of the meanings of it is source of waters, source of waters. So we see this in Eden, but now we are in the new heaven. We're in the new heaven, and what does John see? It's not just a good river. It's a river of living water. It's sparkling like crystal. Have you ever looked out at a lake or the ocean, but especially over lakes or rivers, and the sun is shining on it, and it's just sparkling like crystals, isn't it? Have you ever seen that before? It's one of my favorite sights. I love it. I love being out in nature. I really do. And I love to look at those beautiful scenes where the sun is shining. Oh, brothers and sisters, such a small taste of what will be. A down payment. All the beauty of earth. A down payment of what will be. And John sees something. It's not just a beautiful river, but what is it? It's a river of living water. It's a river of living water. Where does this living water come from? It's not something that God makes and he puts out there. Get the picture with me this morning. Flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And that reminds us and it speaks to us that life comes from God. Life comes from him. It flows from him. We must be connected to him. He doesn't just say, here, I give you life. Now you're a Christian. Do the best that you can. But it comes in connection with him. It comes in union with him. And that's why you and I, we must stay connected to Jesus. We must stay connected to him. We must spend time with him. Why? It is our life. How many of you have ever gotten in a busy time? And in that busy time, and all of us have, in that busy time, your Bible stayed unopened for a few days. And you were really busy. And your mouth didn't open in prayer to the Lord for a while. You were just so busy. You were working, or things were going on. You'd come in at night and you'd just collapse. You'd be so sleepy. And then you'd be so tired at other times. You just thought, let me just see what's on television. We've all done it, haven't we? We've all done that. And what happened if we went down that path very long? We just started to dry up, didn't we? We feel so far from God. We feel so disconnected. We feel so dead. We feel so dry. And this picture that we see in heaven, as wonderful as heaven is, as glorious as it is, the source of life, it flows from the throne of God. And from the Lamb. He's the source of life. If he is the source of life there, he is the source of living water here as well. And so we come to him. We come to him. Now, we look at this, And then let's go just a little bit further. And I've already asked Chris to try to describe this because he's an illustrator. Maybe I'm going to ask Alistair to try to describe it now because he's an architect. Maybe Chris failed. Let's see if the architect can do any better in this service instead. Look with me. It flowed on each side of the river, this living water, was the tree of life bearing 12 kinds of fruit with a fresh crop each month. The leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nation. There's a whole bunch here. So, architect Alistair, how would you draw that? How would you draw that? Chris said, oh dear, it's hard to describe, isn't it? It's hard to understand. When we come to this, what we see is John was, even though it was in a vision, even though he was seeing heaven, he was still a human. And all he had was human language to try to describe a heavenly reality that is hard for us to understand. But we can understand some things, can't we? Let's see what it is. Here's this living water. On each side of the river was the tree of life. Huh? It's on each side of the river now. Bearing 12 kinds of fruit. Does that mean one tree had 12 different fruits? Or was it 12 different trees and different fruit on each tree? I don't know. And you don't either. It's not very clear to us. Was it one tree and the roots came out and it came up again? We don't know. But what we do see is this. What was a tree of life in Eden is now a garden, is now a forest, because all God always does better. God always does better. And the picture that we have here is 12 kinds of fruit, fresh crop each month. And what this reminds us of, this tells us something about heaven this morning and what will yet be. How many of you have thought, heaven, we just go there and it's just for all eternity, no clocks, and we just, you know, day melts into day, and after a while you kind of think, is there ever going to be any change? All of us have had ideas like this about heaven, but apparently there is some sort of time in heaven, isn't there? Some sort of heavenly time. Some sort of heavenly time. Because it says there's a fresh crop each month. Will it be the same as earth? We don't know. I doubt it. I doubt it because it's heaven. But it's a fresh crop each month. John is using terms that we can understand. What does this tell us? And what does this speak to you this morning? What does this tell you this morning? It tells you that there will always be enough in heaven. You will never lack. You will never go hungry. You will never fall short. Why? 12 months, 12 crops of fruit. You know, for all of us, we think about those of us from countries where there are a lot of fruit, depending on the seasons or the fruit bearing or whatever, we wait for particular seasons, right? In this season, there is going to be this. In this season, so I know in the Philippines right now, mango season is coming pretty soon, isn't it? In fact, it started just a little bit, right? But especially, so it's starting. And other, those of you that are from Malaysia or Singapore or whatever, guess what? Durian's coming. Durian's coming. Some of you say, ugh. But maybe there's something else that's coming as well. But we look forward with anticipation. And then there are those times when it's just not fruit bearing. There are those times when there's just, that's, the leaves are just green, but there's no fruit on the tree. And the picture that we see in heaven is not like that. It is a continuous supply. This is, oh, God is so good to us. God is so good to us. There's never a time that there will be an unmet need or desire or want in heaven. But look, that's not all. This tree of life in heaven is different from the tree of life on earth, isn't it? Look with me. On earth, in Eden, what did Adam and Eve do? They ate the fruit. But what about this heavenly tree of life? The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Usually, leaves on a fruit tree, we don't care very much about. All we want is the fruit, right? But this is the tree of life, the heavenly tree of life in the new heaven. And the leaves of the tree of life in heaven bring healing to the nations. So that tells us two things right there. When I see that word healing, I think, what? I thought heaven was perfect. There's going to be healing in heaven? Different word. Let's go back to the Greek word because Revelation is written in Greek. Do you know what this word is, healing? In Greek, The word that John uses, it's written in Greek. The word is, listen carefully, therapia. Ah, does that sound like other words that you know? What are some other words that we use? Therapy, therapeutic. And the idea and the meaning of it is that it maintains health and wholeness. That's the picture. So we have this beautiful picture. The tree is completely beneficial to us. There's the tree of life. So the fruit brings life, and the leaves bring healing for the what? Nations. How many of you thought we were just going to all be the same in heaven? We were all. How many of you thought you were all going to be the same color in heaven? You might have. Don't raise your hands. We're all going to look alike. We're all going to have sort of the same features. We're all going to be kind of like angels, right? We're all going to shine. We're going to have wings. Where did that come from? It didn't come from God, because God doesn't say that at all. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But what do we see here? Healing of the nations. What is this word nation? It's the word that means ethnic group. Ethnic group. Look at that. In heaven, you're going to be you. The people from your ethnic group. The people that are like you physically. A similar culture. There will be people. You will still be identified in that way. God's not going to erase all that. Heaven is so much more varied than we think it is. Heaven is so much more different than we think it is. There are still going to be these identifications. God created this. He's not going to make it worse. He's not going to erase it. He's going to make it better. There's only one thing He's going to get rid of for us in heaven, and that is the effects of sin and death and all of that. Everything else will be enhanced. Everything else will be better, except that. There will be no disunity. There will be no disharmony. There will be no friction. We've talked about this before, but how many of you in your countries, there are differing people groups in your countries? There are people of different skin color and different language in your country. And almost always, there is a friction between, isn't there? There are times when it's not peaceful. It will not be that way in heaven. The leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. Amen. And then we have this picture of life and health. Nothing bad, no sickness, no death. Why? We would like to say, we can say it's because Jesus defeated death and sin and hell and the devil on the cross. But I want us to go a little bit further, because we're talking about the new heaven now. What do we read in verse 3? It comes right after this. No longer will there be any curse. Let me ask you something right now. Is there still a curse? Yes or no? Yes! There's still a curse. Do you know how you can find out if there's still a curse? How many of you right now have an ache somewhere in your body? Yep. Mine is right here. It's been there for the last 3 or 4 days, right there, even though I've tried to exercise it. And right now, my throat's pretty dry. Drink some water. We have things in our body. Let me ask you something else. How many of you go back to your memory? You know, there's that yucky movie, Total Recall, I think. Everything comes back. How many of you, when you access your memory, there are things that are past and they still hurt you? Yeah? That's right. There are things that are still past and it still hurts. There are things that you have forgiven and it still hurts. That's the curse. That's the curse. It still has its effect. But beloved brothers and sisters, the time is coming when there will be no curse, no longer. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. Why will there be no curse? Why will there be no curse? Not only because of what Jesus has done at Calvary, but because we will be with Jesus and Jesus will be with us. No separation, nothing there. You see, that's what breaks the curse. That's what takes care of the curse in our lives. It is working now in our lives, but one day it will be completely effectual. It will be effectual in your body. It will be effectual in your feelings. It will be effectual in your memory. No curse, no curse. I can't wait for that. I sometimes think of things that I have done or said in the past, and I have repented of them, and I know God has forgiven me. I know He has. And yet, because it was something said, perhaps, to someone that I loved, it still grieves my heart. Does that happen to you? I think about it, and I think, I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't done that, but I did. And God has forgiven me. But the time is yet to come when it will be wiped away. It will be dealt with. Why? Because we will be with no boundaries, with no barriers, completely in the presence of God. I want to go forward just a minute, then I'll go back. This is going back to Revelation 21, and then I'm going to back up just a minute. Look with me. Look, God's home is now among His people. He will live with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. That's when the curse is gone. That's when the curse is gone. Look with me. Verse 4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death. Grief, crying, and pain will exist no longer. All these things are gone forever. And one day, soon, it will all be gone forever. This is the full result. This is the culmination. This is what will happen one day when everything that Jesus has done, everything that the last Adam has done, has been worked out in our lives because we're with Him. I sometimes talk with them. I'm going to back up again just a minute. I sometimes talk with Christians who worry about, I've been cursed. And I talk with fairly often. Somebody has cursed me. I think I've got a curse upon me. I've got brothers and sisters. If you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, His blood takes care of the curse in your life on this earth. Okay? Don't worry about, oh, this person has put a curse upon me. You stay close with Jesus. You walk with Him. Walk in the light. And Jesus takes care of any of these things in your life. Amen? Amen. And another time, maybe we will talk more about that. Okay, we've talked about the tree of life. Let me ask you about the other tree. Where's the tree of knowledge? Okay? Tree of life was in heaven. Tree of life was in Eden. What about the tree of knowledge? Tree of knowledge was in Eden. Is the tree of knowledge of good and evil, is it in heaven? Yeah? Because, you know, God follows through. The tree of knowledge is not in heaven. Read from beginning to end. It's not in heaven. Where is the tree of knowledge? The tree of knowledge is here. The tree of knowledge is now. The tree of knowledge is in your life every day. Until you die. Until you die. The tree of knowledge is in front of you. Why is it here and not heaven? Because now is the time that we choose. Now is the time that I take that free will, precious free will that God has given me. Now is the time that I take time that God has given me. So precious, can never be regained. But these days that we have, these hours we have, these minutes that we have, in these days, in these hours, in these minutes, I choose God and I say no to temptation. In these days and hours and minutes, I say yes to You, God, and I eat from the tree of life. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil, my independence from God, my way of doing things, my will, what pleases what I want against what God wants. I say, no, I'm not going that way. I don't want that. Or if there's part of me that wants it, it may want it. But God, what You have for me is better than what that offers me. And I choose now. You choose now. And we choose now. And then when we get to heaven, we will never, ever, ever be tempted again with the tree of knowledge. We will not have to choose again, is it this or it's this? Because we have been tested here. We have been proven here. This is why that's why Paul says, work out your salvation. It's not, oh, I got to work so that I can make it to heaven. No, it's not that. It is that the life of God is in us. The river of life is flowing through us. And that river of life and that tree of life, Jesus in us, helps us and enables us now to choose Him, to choose His ways, and to say no to those things that bring death into my life. And I will make it to heaven, not by my good works, nor will you. But I will make it to heaven by the blood of Jesus Christ and because I choose Him. Have you ever talked with people who say, oh, God is a good God. God's a good God. And because He's a good God, God won't send anyone to hell. You're right. God will not send anyone to hell, but people will choose where they go. Oh, God's good. He'll bring everybody to heaven. Have you ever talked with people that sort of say that? That's sort of their idea. Everybody will get to heaven in the end. No, they won't. Because if everybody gets to heaven in the end, after choosing their own way to live as they wanted to here, and they make it there, heaven will not be heaven. Heaven will be another earth just like this. And I'll tell you right now, I don't want an eternity living like this. Do you? So I choose now. You choose now. The tree of knowledge is in front of you every day. Every day to choose or to not choose. Instead, choose from the tree of life. And you and I will be in heaven. No tree of knowledge there. Because we have passed the test here. So we get to heaven, and I want to finish up as we come to this, talking about the first Adam and the last Adam, because this was part of our discussion, this was part of our talking. Jesus went to the cross for us, He died for us, and then He rose from the dead. And the last Adam died for the first Adam, died for us. And then that evening, He appeared to His disciples, right? He appeared in the room. He had His resurrection body. And He said, "It is I." And they were terrified because they were sure He was really dead. They didn't, His death was too real. It could not be. And what does Jesus do in His resurrection body to convince them that He is who He says He is? What does He do? Look, My hands. What was special about His hands? The nail prints were there. My feet. The nail prints were there. My side. The spear that was thrust into His dead body already, and the water came out. And Jesus, in His resurrection body, points to these signs, points to these scars in His body. He's the last Adam. And one day, you and I are going to make it to heaven. And what did we read? Every tear is gone, no more death, grief, crying, and pain. These things that bring scars to our lives. You have scars in your heart. You have scars in your feelings. You have physical scars on your body, don't you? Every one of you. Is there a person here this morning that could look at your body, your physical body, and say, "I have no scars"? Anybody? Anybody? Nobody here. We've all got scars. But one day, when you make it to heaven, you will have no scars. Did you know that? Hallelujah, indeed. I have scars here and there. I've got scars from I've told you about this, from the monkey bite, the monkey attack here and here. I've got scars from the cat attack that are a little bit fresh right here. I've got a pencil scarf from my sister when she attacked me with, she jabbed, I know, I think, oh dear too, when she jabbed me in my knee with a pencil, a sharp pencil. We had a fight about that one. It wasn't funny at the time. But we all have scars. And the point is this. We have all these things in our body. But one day, the last Adam will take all of that away from us. And he takes it away because he bore it all. Every tear you've cried, every pain, everything that has brought you a scar, body, soul, and spirit, the last Adam takes it away. And we will have the body that he had, this resurrection body. We close with this. I didn't misspeak. I wasn't accurate when I said we will have bodies like Jesus. Because you know what? You will not have a body like Jesus in heaven. And I won't either. Do you know why? Because Jesus will still have scars in heaven. You say, are you sure? I'm sure. Revelation 5. We're introduced to the Lamb that looked as if it had been slain, slaughtered. And the language is freshly slaughtered, freshly slaughtered. And the wounds of Jesus, Adrian Rogers, a well-known Bible teacher in the U.S., said, and I thought he put it so well, he said, the scars of Jesus will be the only man-made thing in heaven. The only man-made thing in heaven. And it will be. And they will be there forever. You would think that God would make everything new, everything fresh. But the scars will be there because his scars are eternally effectual in our lives. No curse, no curse. And we will look at the scars. This is why Revelation chapter 5, we don't have time for it today, but you read it on your own. This is why Revelation chapter 5 is an overflowing of praise in heaven. Another legal happening. An overflowing of praise. The Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb that was slain. And it's an overflowing of praise because everything that you and I will fully enjoy one day, which we have a foretaste of now, will be because of the last Adam, the Lamb that was slain on our behalf. And we will look upon the scars of Jesus. And we will no longer weep. And we will no longer grieve. But we will worship. We will worship. And we will rejoice for the Lamb who was slain on our behalf. This is the culmination. This is how it wraps up. So I invite you to close with me in prayer this morning. And just look with this as we turn to pray. He says it's trustworthy and true. What I'm saying, it may be hard to believe, but he said this is true. This is trustworthy. And then he says to all who are thirsty, are you thirsty for the living water this morning? For Jesus, our Lamb that was slain, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life, that living water. Let's close in prayer this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whether you are, if you're with us online this morning at home or in a park somewhere, I invite you, join us. Let's focus as we come to our close this morning. And Lord, we look to you this morning and we know that you are speaking to us. We know that you have spoken to us. And Jesus, we know that there are some things in our lives that need to be refreshed and renewed. And Lord, some of us know that the tree of knowledge of good and evil has been a factor in our lives as we have been choosing a way that is not your way. Help us, I pray this morning, to come again to the tree of life and take the fruit of the tree of life. Jesus, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be thirsty for you, that we come back to you and we receive and we drink from you this morning. Oh God, we choose you. Jesus, there is still some sadness in our hearts as we think about what you endured for us. But Jesus, we worship you this morning, the Lamb that was slain. We think of those scars in your hands, in your feet, in your side, eternally there, forever, in the new heaven, in the new earth. And we are so grateful. We are so grateful that what you have won for us, what you have found for us, it will be forever found. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.